Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Anybody loving God today? See, along with loving God, we hate the devil. And I want to remind you who the devil is. He's the father of lies, okay? He's the author of confusion. So you think about it, we've got a door in our heart, and Jesus wants to be that door. But we got this door in our heart, and when we see a situation that we don't readily figure it out, or we don't, then what happens is we have the opportunity now to swing that door open and say, oh, this is confusing. Like, what's going on in the world today? You know, a year and a half ago, it's like, oh my gosh, wait a second. Somehow the blinders came off my eyes, and what's been evil in our world has been hiding in plain sight, and I didn't even realize it. Yeah, I knew that the capability, I knew that it could happen. I knew that it did happen a little bit, but to the degree that it's happened, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I said, God, forgive me. And that's kind of where the message is going to go today, and that it's what our responsibility in this whole thing is. See, because we've got to be doers of the word, and that's how we live our lives. But how does that start? Where do we start as doers of the word? Because we put a premium on God's promise here. You guys that are new here, I mean, we go to God's word, and if it's not God's word, we are not standing on it. If it's not God's word, we're not going to preach it. If it's not God's word, we're not gonna lay any of our faith on it, okay? We put a premium on God's word. I want you to know that, okay? And that's the absolute truth in our lives. Everything else, the facts of our lives, man, they're all out there. We can know the facts, we can understand, we can put facts in the right place. But the bottom line is this: facts change. The truth never does. So we put our trust in the truth. Why? Because facts are going to change. See, so when we look at this, it's vital that we put an absolute premium on a renewed mind. See, in June of 1979, I gave my life to Jesus. I answered an altar call. And I said, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Lord of my life. I'll never smell the scent of hell. I'm going to heaven. And was done. And it was kind of, this is kind of offensive, but in my heart, I'm thinking, yada, yada, yada. Because I answered this altar call, and I was a sinner, and I was hungover, and I felt terrible. And I'm standing up in front of this church when the preacher lied 2 minutes beforehand, where he said, listen, if you want to give your life to the Lord, get your life right with God, just raise your hand. I promise you I won't embarrass you. So what happens is, 45 seconds later, I have to stand up, and then I have to walk to the front of the church, and I'm standing in front of this church where he promised me he wouldn't embarrass me. Yet, so the whole time I'm thinking, I'm going to kill you. This is a small town. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to burn your house down. That's what I'm doing, answering the altar call. That's how I'm thinking. And then I start saying stuff. And then he's like, okay, you're going to heaven. And then he said, look at me, and he pointed at me, and I'm like, you don't point at me. I'm already in a bad mood. You know, it's supposed to be, I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to be telling you my entrance into the kingdom was supposed to be, it's supposed to be glorious, and angels singing and flying around the room, and it wasn't like that at all for me, okay? It's like, are you out of your freaking mind? This is humiliating. And then he points at me and says, look at me like that. I'm like, I'm looking at you. He said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And somehow, that changed my life forever. Just that simple statement that he made, that we all know from the word now, that it seeded in my heart, and then it immediately took root. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that simple word hung over at the altar of that church changed the trajectory of my life. And I lived for God. I stopped doing drugs. I stopped partying. I stopped everything. And to the point where a couple days after I got saved, I'm at a party, and it's a throwdown. It's what you live for 2 days before that. But I'm sitting at this party, and I remember I got my hands in my pockets, and I'm about 5 feet from the door, and got my back to the door, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, this is not me. This is not me. What am I doing here? Where did that thought come from? It came from that seed that was sown in my heart that I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have been passed away. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you asked me to explain that, there's no way I could have. I had zero understanding of it, yet I got it. But the mental essential wasn't there. See, so it started here, and what that did, it began to affect it. So then I saw the word, and I'm reading the word, and I'm like, wait a second. Everything I put my hand to prospers. And this is the truth. See, God's word is subject to nothing. And everything, I'm looking up thinking, everything I put my hand to prospers. Wait a second, game changer. See, because everything in my life, I see everything competitively. I do. So the competitive nature even that I had then, I'm thinking, wait a second, everything I got to get my hands on something. And then I saw, I'm telling you, in the same reading, I saw, without a cross reference, I saw that no weapon formed against me would ever prosper. So now here I am. I'm like, everything I put my head to prospers, yet no weapon formed against me will prosper. And here I'm living my life like this. I'm like, let's get it on. I'm ready to go. I'm going to take on all comers. If I win whatever I put my hand to, and anything rises against me loses, and I win. See, and then I see that God's called me to be not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. And I'm like, how do you be more than a conqueror? In my life as a sinner, you just want to go win. You just want to go win. I'm gonna beat you into the dirt. But now, not just a conqueror, not just a winner, but more than a conqueror, which is an overcomer. See, what is translated as more than a conqueror is an overcomer. So now, whatever kind of hell that you're going through, whatever kind of storm that's raging around your life, you're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer in this age. You're an overcomer. See, so I look at it and think, wait a second, if I'm a conqueror, I win. If I'm more than a conqueror, I know I'm going to win. So now, we got to be careful not to be arrogant. How do we not be arrogant? No, for real, I want to glad hand you right now. And I know this is on the internet. I know people are watching. I know there's haters. But how do you look at it that when the promise that the Creator's given you, that everything you put your hand to prospers, how do you not go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you know who you're talking to? See, and we look at our lives. So now we've got to understand that everything in this world is built for God's pleasure. And I'm in that family. See, it's vital that we put an absolute premium on a renewed mind. Who we are in Christ is all that matters. A new lens to view our lives. And so the cry of our heart is, God, give me eyes to see. God, that I might see. God, this is God. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service. Listen to verse 2. And don't be conformed to this world. Underline that, highlight that. Put okay, God, give Him a thumbs up, whatever you got to do if you're on your phone. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you see yourself, how you see your life, how you see your marriage, how you see your children, how you see your social life, how you see that now we have to be transformed. Why? To prove the will of God. That's our mission in life. That's our cause in life. You're like, okay, what's my cause? What's my mission? To prove the will of God. You got to prove it. Because we're going a different direction. Do you understand that? Everything in our lives now, it's about direction. It's about cadence. Man, it's about tempo. It's about hustle. It's the whole deal, because it's all about direction. And what the devil wants to do, see, our prize is the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And all the devil wants to do is get you off that mark. So you're not hitting that target. So now it's like, it's a little bit frustrating. You see the target, it's just hard to hit the target. See, and what God's called us to live, is God's called us to live a blessed life. And all that is just an uplifting life. See, a cursed life is a suppressed life. So let me ask you, how many of you guys are living a suppressed life? Okay, let me get real. A limited life. Are there limits in your life? Can you identify any limits? Well, let me tell you, that's a suppression. Because my Bible says, eye hasn't seen nor ear heard nor has entered the heart of man the great things that God has for his children. So you've never seen it. You've never heard of it. You've never dreamt about it. It's bigger than anything you could ever imagine. That's what God has. But let me tell you, it's hard for us to see that from where we are, because the Bible says, God says, look, my ways aren't your ways. Okay, I got it. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. Okay, I got that too. He said, my ways are higher. Listen, he just doesn't say they're higher. He says higher than the heavens are from the earth. Now he brings that into perspective, the heavens to the earth. See, we've got to keep our mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. See, our view's got to be a heavenly view. Not remember, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, so now, so the references, the cross-references are just crazy. It builds this great case that he's like, look, I want to give you, he said, it's his good pleasure to give you the keys to his kingdom. And you'll think, okay, man, I want those keys. What are they? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If two of you touching anything agree, it'll be done. It'll glorify God. I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, wait a second. Why don't we, that's got to be communicated every single day if it's really truly the keys to the kingdom, right? Binding and loosing. So now what do? Man, you get a temptation, you bind it. A little bit of fear hits your life, you bind it. Well, I better research it. I better Google it. I got a symptom. I better go to WebMD. No, you know what? Man, Sandy and I made covenant. We don't do that. Man, you get a symptom. What do? God, I thank you that you sent your word and healed me. Delivered me of all my destructions, even my self-destructions, which might be a bigger issue in my life than in your life. But in my life, that's an amazing promise that God delivers me from my destructions. See, so we look at our life and we got this blessed form of life. How do we get there? There's three ways. Write this down. Number one is we get there by faith, by trust. Put all our trust in God. I'm telling you, get every bit of trust you have and give God that trust. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. We're trusting God's Word. We're trusting God's promise. Number one, it's faith. Number two, it's His presence. He's omnipresent. He's always here. So you know what? I'm blessed. Why? God's here. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. God's here. He's always tending to my life. He's a good father. He gives good gifts. He's a good God. Every good and perfect thing comes from him. And number three, and this one's huge, a blessed life comes from a transformed mind. And what is that then? See, it's amazing because when we go to Mark 8 and we're looking at Mark 8 and Jesus fed the 5,000, Jesus fed the 4,000, and then the disciples figure out the next day, they figure out they don't have lunch. They forgot lunch. They had no provision for lunch. Jesus fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. The next experience those guys have is they're not going to have lunch, and they start freaking out. And Jesus came up to him, verse 17. He said, why do you reason because you have no bread? Now listen, it gets a little bit. Don't you perceive nor understand? Don't you understand the context of what it's like to be with me? I mean, they fed a massive group of people with a little boy's lunch and had food left over. They fed a massive group of people with just a few loaves of bread and had food left over. And then he said this, why is your heart still hardened? See, when I went up to that altar and I said, God, I give you my life, I make Jesus Lord of my life, he gave me a new heart. He took my heart of stone and he gave me a heart of flesh. So here's Jesus saying, why is your heart still hardened? Why don't you get it? Why don't you understand the context of this life that I'm offering you? Yet, standing at that altar, I didn't understand it. I didn't know I had a new heart. My heart was still hardened. I was mad because that preacher pointed at me. But then when he spoke the word over my life, it transformed me. I mean, it was amazing. It was just like this. Why? I think I was even resistant of it. That's how powerful God's word is, sharper than any two-edged sword. That sword got through my defenses, and it's kind of like this, that if you're standing and you've got a sword and you're pointing it at me and you put the tip of that sword right here in my heart and then ask me to walk toward you. That's what the word does in our life. It pierces. What does it say? It separates your soul and your spirit, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Even separates your bone and your marrow. We've got to look at that. The word of God is near me. So I've got to see when I step toward it, it gets in me. See, and then in verse 18, he said, look, you got eyes, but you don't see. You got ears that you don't hear. And you know what? I don't think you remember. Man, I'll tell you what we've gone through, what my house has gone through in the last few years. It's like bring it freaking on. What kind of symptom are you going to bring into my life that I'm going to even blink? See, we've got to be a people that we're so identified with the power of God. We're so identified with the premium that we put on God's word and his promise that we don't flinch. We're not going to cower. See, the new wisdom in the world is fear. I don't want the wisdom of the world. I refuse to allow fear to enter into my life. Because why? That fear becomes what? Anxiety. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Man, you start worrying about things. Why would you worry? Here's Jesus asking his disciples that. Here's these 12 jokers that are there. They're like, look, we haven't made provision for lunch. Jesus said, who are you guys? You got eyes you don't see. You got ears you don't hear. You don't understand a bit of this. We just fed massive groups of people and you're worried about your lunch. He said, when I broke the 5 loaves, how many were left over? They said, 12. When I broke the 7 loaves, how many left over? And he said, 7. And he said, well, John 3:3, Jesus said, look, when you become born again, you're a son, you're a daughter of God. And then he said this, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. So here we are, we're born again, and what God's word offers us now, what his promises offers us, is context for his kingdom. The kingdom of God. See, because the world's going to say, well, the good Lord gives and he takes away. Find that in the word. Show me in the word. Please. But most Christians, any survey that you hear, they'll say, well, that's the most common verse of my life. It's like it's not in the Bible. What are we doing? See, the Bible says we've got to be students of the word. We've got to put our focus on it. Let me tell you, you want to be great at something? If you're great at anything, you've got to have such a laser focus. If you want to be successful, you got to have focus. So here we are. We've got to be transformed. Why? Because what the devil wants to do is the devil wants to pack all this stuff into our head, worry, fear, stuff we ought to be complaining about, things that aren't fair. Why? Because at some point, your brain's going to hit a limit and it's going to begin to drop into your heart. And it's going to harden your heart again. Man, just recently I heard of people that, man, I was in covenant with, dearly loved, that don't see very much anymore. And have become disillusioned. And I'm hearing this stuff that's on social media, and I'm thinking, their hearts are hardened. So why would I want to go back? I'm not going to go back to drugs. Any of you guys smoking crack? No, for real. How many of you guys burn a blunt in the truck on the before you came in? No, we're not going. I'm not going. That's what God saved me from, right, Raj? Why would I go back to a hardened heart? Why? That's what God saved me. God freed me of that. See, we have the ability now to see the kingdom. We have the ability to see God's way of doing things. We have the ability to see God's plan for our life. Yet, you know something? The devil's going to look at people. He does it all the time. Most of the people in this room, the devil looks and says, hey, you have no idea God's plan for your life. So you know what? You walk away from that lie, and you're thinking, I have no idea. What's the plan for my life? Are you kidding me? No, for real. It's not complex. It's very, very simple. It's not confusing. When it becomes confusing, it's never God. See, we love God with everything in us. And we love the people around us, even we didn't pick to be with them. I dearly love you. I don't know you outside of the church. I don't know you outside of that Bible open in your lap. I don't know you other than that. Because that's what the Word says. Know no man by the flesh, but by the Spirit. You know me by the flesh, you're not going to listen to what I'm saying. You know me by the Spirit, now you know what's going to happen? You're going to see the call of God that's in my life. See, what the Bible says is God gives gifts unto men. First apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith, where every joint supplies. So now, what's my role here? Is to help to bring a supply into your life. How do you do that? I got to get you connected and joined up. We've got Marriage on the Rock all summer on Monday nights. What else are you going to do? No, for real. You going to watch a ball game? You going to get DoorDash? Oh, I'm going to take a break. It's Monday. How about you take a break and invest in your marriage? How many of you guys know, for real, if your marriage is a 10, ignore what I'm saying. But any of you women, if you're married to a fella, your marriage isn't a 10. I know your husbands. But we got to act like, no, we've got to see clearly. We've got to put on a new lens. Man, you get a symptom, you got to put on that lens that eliminates the power of that symptom and illuminates the power of God's promise. Man, the Bible says that we lay hands on the sick and they recover. So now, if there's any, here's the deal. And I don't believe this is a point of contact. I believe this represents healing power, not a point of contact. So I put my hand, I could say, hey, is there anything bothering you? I go, I'm not sure. Well, God, I just thank you that by whose stripes he was healed. And so what happens now, reciprocally, because of the kingdom, is recovery comes into his life. His body has to respond to God's word. So now recovery just starts happening. Well, but he didn't ask for it. It doesn't say him to ask for it. It just says we lay hands on the sick and they recover. If there's anything sick in his life, he's not sick anymore. He's taking a step away from that sickness. We have the ability to see the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. That's what we have to see. So if I could see it, now I can believe it and I can have it. Once we've experienced this, anybody in here have you ever experienced the supernatural nature of God? Can I see your hands? No, God's delivered you, God saved you, God's healed you, God set you free. Just let me see your hands. Once we've experienced God's supernatural supply, we should only look for that. That's all I look for. The Bible says, look above, look up where your help comes from. But you know what? We're gonna Google it. No, we got to go to God's word. We've got to go to God's promise. We got to open his word, and we got to read Mark the 8th chapter, and then they say, God, I'm going to give you the next hour of my life. Just show me in your word. Connect me. Cross-reference. God, build a case for this truth. And you know what God will do in the next hour of your life? He'll give you two or three things in the word where that word's confirmed. That's what he does. Listen to Psalm 119, 111. Listen to this. God, your testimonies I've taken as a heritage are an inheritance forever. This is amazing. Because it's not my testimony that I get as an inheritance. It's God's testimony. For they are rejoicing of my heart. So now, did water come out of, was the rock struck and water came out of it? Did that happen? Was the sea parted? Did a cloud appear as a man's hand? And did they drench the kindling for a fire, and that fire lit on that water soaked wood, and there was a trough around it, and it consumed that? Did that happen? Did Jesus feed the 5,000? Did he feed the 4,000? Did Jesus cause the storm to be calmed? Did Jesus even sleep through the storm? That's my inheritance. That's the heritage of my life now. It's not mine, it's God's. See, that's what God's word, it's God's testimonies. That becomes my inheritance. This opens up that everything God has ever done becomes my inheritance. But I've got to carefully meditate. I got to keep my mind on it. Otherwise, the world's going to distract me. I got to keep my mind on what God's done in his word. And he delivers me and he sets me free. He equips us with the ability to see him when things are desperate, especially when things are desperate. Feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, create a lens to see any situation, what we're going through, with no lunch. God's never left us hanging, ever. You let a little bit of fear in, you overcome fear, your life will go like this. You let a little bit of fear in, your life will go like this. The will of God for your life is that your life becomes brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter till the noonday. Your future is so bright. So, what's the devil's plan? Get you some information that's like, well, but what about, well, what if? And you start playing shoulda, woulda, coulda. Always lose. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that God has for those, listen, who simply walk uprightly. You can't cower. You can't flinch. You can't blink. You can't compromise. You can't negotiate. We don't split the difference. We don't. And some of you guys will say, well, that's a great business tactic. Really? Who told you that? Why would you think that? It all boils down to this, and I'm done. Today, we can have all of God we can get. Whatever we bring, God will fill it up. And how do we know it's full? Because it overflows. And then, okay, this one's overflowing. Get me more, get me more, get me more, get me more. And that oil will keep pouring. That oil will keep pouring. How does that happen? Why? Because that's the inheritance of my life. Why? Because that God did it for that widow woman. Well, yeah, but she had a different attitude. Really? She blamed Elisha for God allowing her husband to die. She was going to make a cake for she and her son, and then they were going to die. There was no hope. So don't tell me about her situation. And what did the man of God do? Just, what do you have? I got this cruse of oil. He starts pouring that out. It doesn't stop pouring. What do you have in your pocket? It's enough. What do you have in your life? It's enough. What do you have in your home? It's enough. What do you have in your hand? It's enough. What do you have in your field? It's enough. And then the clincher is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. everywhere the sole of your foot lands, you take possession. Yeah, but it's not my property. Really? Then you got the wrong identity. A limited identity. What if you grew up and all things were possible for he who believes? What if you grew up that way? What if you really believed it? What if impossible comes off the table? Listen to last week's message. No spoken word of God will ever be impossible. It brings possibility into, and now you're only limited by your own affections. Man, I don't want you to expect too much of me. I want you to expect too much of me. Because you know what we're going to end up doing? We're going to rise to the level of people's expectations. You know, when you're a kid and you got caught cheating or something and your dad said, man, I expected more than that of you. Man, keep expecting more. Keep expecting more. What could God do in your marriage tomorrow night? I think it's all determined by your expectation. God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for who you are and what you're about. We thank you for this incredible, this great assembly of people here, God, the most incredible people on the planet. God, I thank you that you open our eyes so that we can see. God, you open our ears so that we can hear. God, you open our minds so that we can understand. God, I thank you that we receive the implanted word of faith today. And God, it's transforming to our minds, protective to our hearts. God, you lead and guide us into all truth. You're a light into our path and a lamp into our feet. God, nothing's impossible because we believe. Now, God, I thank you for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for an indelible touch right here and right now, a corrective touch. God, getting us back on track where our life is the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we don't deviate off it. We don't drift from it, God. And God, I thank you. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you bring blessings upon every household here, that from this moment forward, our life is on a better trajectory in Jesus' name. God, more peace, more love, more joy, more resources, more prosperity, more money, more forgiveness. And God, I just ask you for every person in here for more ability, more capability to receive all of you that we can get in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.